Welcome to Channel Chatter Live, where we take a deeper dive into recent news, thought leadership, and conversations pertinent to the channel. I'm your host, Lisa Hyatt, and today's guests are business leader and Zift CEO, Gordon Ramkin, along with well-known analyst, channel expert, and Zift's Chief Strategy Officer, Laz Gonzalez. Welcome to the show, guys.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot.
Good to be here.
Thanks for coming. We're going to talk today a lot about COVID-19. It's having a tremendous impact on the world and the channel. Laz, you've been writing about this a lot, I know, and some of that stuff is really getting picked up. With events and handshakes and face-to-face meetings, which have really long been essential to B2B channel sales, marketing, what happens when those are canceled or forbidden? Gordon, you want to?
I thought about this a lot. I think every day I get 12 more emails of people telling me what their company is doing that's going to make things better. I think that, you know, we have to sort of go back to fundamentals. For the last several years, the catchphrase has been digital transformation, so much so that people got tired of hearing those words because it meant everything to everybody. But I think digital transformation is what's going on here. If you can't have a face-to-face event, you can't shake hands, you can't be in a room together, then selling and channels have moved to a digital transformation. And it really changes the game for the balance between what comes out of digital marketing and what comes out of actual selling and sales skills. And I think that we really have to learn to drive the top of the funnel better through marketing. And that's not just an invite to an event. It's now real marketing. We have to gain someone's trust and interest and drive them into the funnel. And then we have to learn to transition them through the funnel with an improved qualification. And then ultimately, it turns into sales skills. I mean, I think what this is going to translate into is people have to become better sellers. I think this is going to make us better at what we do. And I think it's going to improve the reliance and dependence upon the channel partners that are adept at marketing. I think they're the ones that are going to be continuing to generate pipeline and opportunity for the vendors and suppliers that rely upon them.
Interesting. That's, yeah. Laz, what's your take?
I mean, I think to Gordon's point that events are happening, but they're going to need to happen differently. And I mean, if you look at any supplier's budgets for, let's say, MDF or marketing activities, they're fueled 80% by events. You know, the channel plays this unique role of being the last mile of delivery, the one that touches the customer and, you know, creates the demand or fulfills the need. So I think that that is not going to stop or cannot stop, but will change is the way that that happens. And I think that's where you get that digital transformation. And those partners who are able to translate that physical into the digital are the ones that are going to win.
So how, I'm going to just follow right up on that to you, Laz, how can channel leaders hold on to that partner mindshare right now when really, you know, everybody's under this wave of tons of information. Everybody's distracted.
Well, I think that you have to think about partners differently. No longer can you trap them in a room and provide them with an onslaught of product and messaging information. That now you have to vie for their attention.
Yeah.
There's a lot more people sitting in front of screens today. And that is what we are in competition for. And so I think that the way that you have to think about capturing that partner mindshare is very much the same way that you would think about capturing that ever elusive lead. You have to kind of think about partners like leads and how you can engage with them at the top, and then how you can get them involved in activities like marketing and training, as there's more competition for that mind share. So I think that's a real difference in the way that we've been talking to partners.
Yeah, definitely. Gordon, your open door policy and rapport with channel leaders is really well known, and Zift's customers, people can just call you up and ask you questions. How are they really navigating some of the challenges that are arising from the pandemic?
The ones that I'm talking to, I mean, everybody is in the unknown and looking for any tidbits of news and information that isn't just COVID all the time. You know, it's sort of they're looking for prognostication, like, where are we going? What do you think? What do you think? Where do you think it's going to go? How long will it last? And, you know, of course, nobody knows the answer to any of those questions, but we all look for little evidence elements that help us to build our perspective on what's going to happen next. And I think, you know, the thing that we're feeling and seeing and I'm hearing when I talk to people is that we're going through a moment right now where the uncertainty is creating so much risk that people are sort of backing away and saying, I don't think I can do anything right this minute. But they're not backing away and saying, I'm never going to do anything again, or I'll never make another decision in my life. They all know that business continues, that the internet, it didn't get sick. It's still alive and well. And we're going to keep going forward in throughout all of industry, everybody. But right this moment, there's a little bit of a pause because everybody is sort of looking at the, you know, I think it's going to get better. I think it's going to be sometime. Maybe it's next month. Maybe it's this week. Maybe it's 3 months. Nobody knows. And the conversations I've been having have really centered largely on when, not if.
Are you seeing any sort of movement of those budgets from events into more digital marketing, more partner engagement? Is anyone making a move yet, or are they sort of, like you said, on hold right now?
What I'm sensing is a recognition that they need to do it and a planning to do it, but not yet a pull the trigger. So right now there's large chunks of budgets, mm-hmm. MDF budgets, co-op funds, et cetera,
yeah.
that were earmarked and slated to be spent on events with partners that everybody's sort of saying, okay, we're not going to do that. We're going to have to repurpose that. We're going to have to double down on different techniques and methods. But I don't think they've done it yet. I think they're still in that little window of so much uncertainty. They're not quite ready to free up those funds. I did talk with one of our very large customers, and they realized that 80% of what they were spending was being spent on events, not least of which was a very large event that they held for all their partners, which is a really pretty common thing. And the CEO of this very large company stepped back from that, came to their marketing team and said, we're not going to do any of that anymore. We have to double down on all the other techniques we have to get to partners. And we're going to go spend that money, but we're going to spend it completely differently. It translated into a global change in the way that they address their channel. And in certain parts of the globe, they were much more event-driven and face-to-face-driven. In other parts of the globe, they were already somewhat automated and digitally-driven. The parts that were face-to-face and event-driven have now completely switched into an automated and digital environment.
Yeah. Laz, are you hearing the same through, you know, your industry contacts, Zipf's Channel Center of Excellence?
Well, you know, we hear and see channel leaders and programs certainly dialing up the volume in terms of their message and trying to get the message across to partners. I see almost three distinct things going on, and I think they're totally all related. The first one is the messaging that we've been talking about, the getting the partner mindshare and attention, and now looking for different ways of doing that. I think that that's pretty clear, and that's only going to get cluttered, right? So if there's anything that I think companies need to do there is, number one, have a cadence of communications, have somebody own the communications and the channel program, call them a channel communications czar, right? That they will time and prioritize the messages going out to the different partners. The other thing is really start thinking about where you're delivering this information from. So I always, you know, like to suggest that it's always good to bring partners to one place, clearly tools to help them have virtual meetings, help them download information that they might need as they're selling to customers, again, virtually, things that they'll send digitally to their customers, mm-hmm. you know, have that all happen in one place. So another big thing, number two, would be, you know, consolidate. Don't start sending partners off on a wild goose chase to go find things. I think that's really important. And then the third one is around the through partner marketing. Let's not forget that even though we want to get their attention, their work has been suspended, right? These are small businesses calling on sometimes large organizations. And one thing is really clear, there's nobody in the building right now, mm-hmm. right? And so those folks are behind screens like we are, and that partner is going to need to vie for their attention as well. That's their buyer. So anything we can help them by amping up the partner marketing, the through partner marketing specifically, is going to be really important. And I think just like when you're talking about messaging to partners, you shouldn't get cluttered in your messaging. Here, you should also avoid the spray and pray tactics, where you're just basically going out there and hoping to sprinkle enough, goodness to get partners to do something. I think what's important here is to think about marketing planning, to think about what you're going to try and get those partners to do, to deliver it on a comprehensive modern platform that could really cover all the different tactics. And remember, at the end of the day, they're trying to tell their story. So it's not just about getting emails. I mean, think about it. How many emails have you guys been getting right now?
Exactly.
From organizations just kind of saying, hey, we're here. We can help you. Here's a bit of information. So email is not going to cut it. I think that really, again, thinking about what partners need to reach their customers, and that through partner marketing and having the broad set of tactics. And remember, these guys aren't good at that. Not because they don't want to, it's just not a typical place where partners invest. So they're relying on the suppliers' platforms to do these things.
Right.
You know, Laz, it's really interesting. I think there's a couple of things that I was thinking about as you were talking, and it sort of goes back to the earlier question about how does a channel leader hold a partner's mind share? Cadence is a really important element here. And the cadence of communications from the vendor to the partner, the more that becomes a routine that the partner expects to see, the better off they're going to be in terms of keeping mind share. And in our world today, where everybody, as you said, is behind screens, that cadence, you know, really ought to move to almost a daily, just, hey, how are you? And by the way, did you know this? Kind of a messaging. And I think that builds rapport, and it builds that mind share where the partner is used to coming to this environment to hear something every day. I think that's a change from a lot of partner programs where communication was when the vendor wanted something from the partner, they would start talking to them. And now it's the vendor wants the partner to be engaged, and you have to work at that, and you have to provide value in that environment. You know, we're all working from home. We wake up every morning, we go to a website and see what's going on. Well, that could be the vendor's website. Mm-hmm. The vendor's portal. I think it's really important. It changes the dynamic of the dialogue, shows a participation. I think the second thing that you said that I thought was really also very interesting, how can a vendor help their partners to become better marketers? And what I've seen in a number of companies that I've talked to is they're actually packaging content for their partners in the form of education, video training, that sort of thing on how to market, how to take advantage of the things that they're doing for their partners. And I think the companies that invest in their partners' success through those types of tools are the ones who are going to build lifelong relationships with those partners where they're beholden to them. They know, you helped me through a hard time to be better at my job and to make more money. I'm going to stick with you.
Yeah, it sounds like it's almost building a community spirit and giving them the opportunity during this time to sort of upskill, hone those skills, and dive deeper. Aside from speaking with channel leaders, talking to people about what they can do to engage their partners, what are you guys doing to stay sane while you're at home?
I'm a big consumer of digital content. And so what I've done is I've started subscribing to specific podcasts every day. So, as I'm working out, as I'm getting ready, I'm listening to these, two or three podcasts. One I listen to is a special tech talk that is kind of like what's happening now. And it's specific to our industry and tech, and talks to some channels. And so I just go through those, and it just kind of keeps me ready for anything else. And then, to be honest with you, then I dial it down a bit, right? Because then I want to forget about some of those things.
Absolutely. How about you, Gordon?
We've really amped up the video conferencing calls and added just some fun ones to stay connected as a company. So we adopted a practice that's popular in Sweden called Fika, which is roughly translates into coffee break. Mm-hmm. And we have a daily scheduled coffee break where people just dial into a video call, and you got to have your camera on to be a part of it. And we just talk for 15 minutes. Doesn't have anything to do with work.
That's a great idea.
We have a couple of bread bakers in our group. And so baking has been an element of remaining sane. You know, it's causing a need. We're social animals, and we have this need. Like, we have to talk to people. We have to see them. When you can't be face-to-face, this is as good as it gets.
I dig it. So for you, less running, more bread. So we're going to have a rounder board.
Yeah, it's rounder.
Thanks so much, you know, for coming in, you guys. I want to thank our guests again, Gordon Rapkin and Laz Gonzalez, and our listeners for joining us. And follow and contribute to the conversation at ziffsolutions.com. Everybody stay safe, stay kind.